It's been a busy time in Spain since our last episode. The elections I was telling you about have come and gone. They were on July 23rd. That was a Sunday, which is usually the day of choice for elections in most parts of Europe. And the results were, in the very least, surprising if you look at what most people expected. And I'm sure there was someone out there who saw it coming, but it certainly wasn't me, and it certainly wasn't a lot of people. Let me explain here. You see, on one hand, things went according to what was forecast. The Conservative Party, Partido Popular, PP, won the elections, but by a much slimmer margin than predicted. Let's take a quick look at the breakdown here. The Partido Popular got 33% of the vote and 137 seats in parliament. Then came the Socialist Party, which got almost 32% of the vote and 121 seats in parliament. And then the third party was Vox, the sort of far-right party, which was one of the controversial parties. It actually lost nearly 3% and 19 seats in parliament. And the fourth party was the far left party called Unite or Sumar or Join. And that also lost about 3% and 7 seats in parliament. And then after that, there are a string of parties, which are mainly regional parties, some of which actually are favoring independence from Spain. And these parties are mainly from Catalonia and the Basque Country. And they have enough seats there, although nothing compared to the others, but enough there to have an impact on when it comes to forming a government. We'll talk about that in a second. Those were the results for the lower house, which is the Congress, they call it, the Diputados, or Congreso de Diputados, which is basically the parliament, and where most of the legislation is done. You have the Senate, which is the higher house, the upper house, but in Spanish government, the Senate doesn't possess the power and influence of the lower chamber of parliament. Anyway, what do these results mean? Well, on paper, it almost sounds as if the Conservative Party did great. Its popular vote increased by 12 percentage points, and it obtained 48 more seats in parliament than the last time, which itself constitutes a 42% increase. So you think they'd have a lot to cheer about, but since the polls were actually calling for something closer to 145 to 150 seats in parliament, maybe 155, and in some sort of political wet dream, there were members of the Partido Popular who were praying for an outright majority of 176 seats. That would have been far beyond what anyone was predicting. But anyway, the numbers. That was 137, regardless, fell well short of that goal. So it was an impressive increase and a victory that almost felt like a loss. On top of that, the far right party, Vox, lost 2.5 percentage points and dropped 19 seats in parliament. And that seems like quite a bit. For such a small drop in popular votes, but that's sort of the price that a mid-sized national party will pay using the current electoral system that they have in this country. So anyway, the Vox had a tough night for them, and it's probably an indication that their support has reached its apex and may be beginning to wane. In any event, regardless, even the combined numbers of both the Partido Popular and Vox together, which was sort of like the most likely formula that would allow for a conservative government to be formed, was not enough. It's below their target. They need 176 seats, and they combined for 170. The Socialist Party actually did better than expected, increasing its votes by 3 percentage points, and they scraped out another seat in parliament, despite the fact it was suggested it might lose as many as 10 seats. So it was a modest performance. It wasn't fantastic, but it tasted of victory, and it has actually given this party better options of ruling again, even though it didn't even win the election. Now, what happened here? Why were the polls so off? This seems to be a recurring theme throughout world politics, so it's something that people are just going to have to look at. In Spain's case, it seems as if the conservative side set its sights probably too high, so high that pretty much anything under that would have looked like a failure. The Partido Popular's leader, Feijóo, the main candidate, did well in the first debate, but he actually opted out in the second one, where the other three parties, or the three major parties, participated, and that may have cost him some support. He also ran into some trouble about pension data that he claimed his party had supported, and it wasn't true. So they sort of caught him there. And there is also this sort of lingering bit of scandal about a friendship he had with a convicted drug lord from his native region of Galicia, a man named Marshall Dorado. So it seems like, in his case, the Conservative Party had a great start to this 2-week campaign, but it kind of quickly deflated. On top of that, the left was accusing the Conservative Party of trying to form governments with the far-right party Vox, and then people on the right, or on the far right, were accusing him of potentially trying to form a government with the Socialist Party. So they were sort of getting hit from both sides. And then there was another factor which some say could have been an influence here, and that was that the Catalan separatists were calling for a boycott of the elections. And it is true that voter turnout in that region was lower than previous elections, and it was lower than the rest of Spain, with the exception of the islands, but that's sort of always typical there. So some say that that translated into a better performance for the socialists. So maybe it was just a combination of all of these factors. But the fact is, the polls were off, and it was a surprise. And we are left with another situation of uncertainty, of sort of a mess, because all sorts of combinations are probably going to be required for a government to be formed. Because if not, we could be heading to the elections again in a few months. But anyway, let's not get ahead of the game. What's going to happen next? Well, to give you a little context here, a prime minister is elected by the members of parliament after the king proposes a candidate after talking to the different groups, the different parties. In a pure two-party system, this is a generally very easy thing to do. It's pretty basic. The party with the most seats will be able to elect the prime minister that they choose. And in an imperfect two-party system, which is what Spain has, because you have two major parties. One is the Socialist Party, which is like Labour, and the other is the Conservative Party, which is the Partido Popular. But they are not big enough, and that just makes things a lot more complicated. And this has had a particularly big impact on Spanish politics for the last 7 or 8 years, since neither of the parties has enough support to rule on its own. It needs to come to agreements with some of these other parties. As we just mentioned before, the Partido Popular just doesn't have that support as we speak, even though they got the most votes. And the socialists, on the other hand, just might get there, but they will have to once again look for a couple of parties which seek independence from Spain in order to form an administration, a government. And that's quite controversial. What will the current prime minister, Pedro Sánchez, do about this? The Partido Popular is trying to possibly form a government with a minority. It would need to have a lot of support from some pretty traditional enemies. In fact, the Feijóo wrote a letter to Sanchez yesterday asking to meet with him, and Sanchez said pretty much, "We'll see. We'll see you on August 17th when the parliament convenes," and basically saying that it's not going to happen. On top of that, the official vacation time in Spain, which is really August, has begun. So people are probably going to take a break for a few days or maybe even a couple of weeks. And then we'll see what sort of happens with this all. What else is happening? Well, speaking of summertime, we know it's been pretty hot here. It's been pretty hot throughout Europe. Many outlets, media outlets, have sort of plastered their front pages with alarming stories of terrifying heat in southern Europe, including Spain. And I know that in certain places it's been very warm, but for Madrid, for the middle of the country, it's been a pretty standard summer so far. In fact, June was quite rainy. The temperatures weren't too bad at all. July has been sort of on and off, and that's what you get. Madrid weather in July is sunny, hot, and dry, and that's it. It can be very hot some days. It can be extremely hot some days. It can be not so hot other days, but that's the way it works. Last summer was 10 times worse, by the way. So we'll see what happens. I'll give you a complete report by the end of the summer because we still have a lot of summer left, and we'll have to see how this one turns out to be in the end. Other news about Spain that caught my attention was the death of one of Spain's most popular cartoonists of all time. A man whose comics have been around for so long that I actually thought he had died many years ago. Ever since I've been here, his books have been popular, and the way people talked about him, it seemed like it was something that had been going on for generations. And basically, it had. Now, I am talking about the immortal Francisco Ibáñez Talavera and his legendary comic Mortadelo and Filemón, which I think in English was translated as Mort and Phil. In terms of popularity, I'd say that it was the equivalent of maybe Belgium's Tintin or France's Asterix. Now, I have to admit, I've never been a huge comic fan, not even in the US. So I had never even heard of this guy or even his comic before I came to Spain. But basically, you wouldn't find a house that didn't have at least one of these books, and it sort of became a fundamental part of youth reading in this country. And it's been that way for decades. Mortadelo and Filemon are a pair of hapless and goofy spies, and in their adventures, just about anything could happen. It's full of sort of silly, lovable, almost childish humor that so characterizes Spanish humor. Mortadelo and Filemón was first published in 1958, and Ibáñez continued to crank out issue after issue, book after book, album after album, all the way up basically to the day he departed, which was on July 15th. His last book was published in June, and he was working on the next one at the ripe old age of 87 when he passed away. So it was a great loss for comic fans everywhere, but especially here in Spain. Ibáñez certainly would have found plenty of inspiration from the recent election situation that we're living. Anyway, that will be all for this episode of This Week in Spain, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Hope it's been helpful and informative. Please leave comments or questions. We love the feedback. And if you want, you can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, or Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.